Carol is going to head down with our preteens somewhere. Preteens? That has absolutely nothing to do with anything I want to talk about today. But I just thought it was funny. So just keep your advice to yourself, guys, if your wife is painting. We are looking at home improvements. Building lasting relationships that last a lifetime. And we've been constructing a house here. And some people said, what was that rock on the back of the wall last week? Well, maybe I should explain it. That's considered the foundation. And today we're going to be talking about walls. We're going to be talking about walls of commitment. Talking about how our commitments provide a protection for us, provide walls in our relationship, and how they will help us to build strong and lasting relationships. There are different stages of love, aren't there? There's lots of different stages to love. As some of you have been involved and observed puppy love, which is kind of embarrassing to watch, isn't it, when it happens? You know, two people that are totally oblivious to everything that's going on, but they're just grossing out everybody that's close by because they are just all over each other. That's puppy love, that's infatuation. There's early love, there's a love that those beginning stages, those beginning times when we enter in and we begin to know that this is for real, and it's exciting, it's fresh, it's deep, it's alive. One of the stages of love is disappointed love. I think all of us who are married or have ever been married know that there are disappointments that will come in a relationship. I remember talking to someone shortly after they had been married, probably within the first year or so. And I said, so how's married life treating you? And they said, it's not everything that I thought it would be. Surprise, surprise. Okay? So there's disappointed love. There's times when, yeah, we know we love that person, absolutely, but there are some things that we may be disappointed about. But there's also committed love. And that's really what we want to talk about more today. Committed love is that love that lasts a lifetime. Committed love is that love that just keeps on going because no matter what happens, there is this tremendous, deep sense of love that we have for each other. Our text is taken from Matthew chapter 19, verses 1 to 6. We read part of this last week. I want to read it again as a starting point today. Matthew chapter 19, verse 1. When Jesus had finished saying these things, he left Galilee and went into the region of Judea to the other side of the Jordan. And large crowds followed him, and he healed them there. And some Pharisees came to him to test him. They said, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any and every reason? Haven't you read, Jesus replied, that at the beginning the Creator made them male and female and said, for this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife. We could also read that, be committed to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate. What does it mean? What does it mean to be committed to each other in a relationship? Well, some people think it's sort of like being committed to Eric Martin downtown, but that you can't get out, the doors are locked and everything is secure and there's a lot of funny people walking around in there. But being committed to each other has taken on kind of in some ways in our culture a negative tone. Commitment is not a word that we are really comfortable with. Commitment is not a word that we just are hardly waiting to get into. People today don't like making commitments because, well, you never know what's going to come up. You never know what's going to happen. So I really don't want to commit myself to anything, especially to relationships. It doesn't sound like a very romantic notion. It doesn't sound like something that sends, you know, little tingles up and down our spine. But I want you to look at this whole idea of commitment as being a very positive and a very purposeful thing. In verse 5, it says, "For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh." We mentioned last week that that's part of the physical relationship or the sexual relationship that happens in a married couple, that is part of what it means to become one flesh. But becoming one flesh goes far beyond simply a physical or sexual relationship. Becoming one flesh means that we become one in person or we unite in purpose. We join together to become more together than we could ever be on our own. To be committed to each other and to become one flesh means that we say that we will commit ourselves to another person for as long as we live in order that together we can do life together and make it through some of the challenges and joys that we will experience. Let me break it down a little further. First of all, commitment is a choice we make willingly and joyfully. I remember in our first church, there was a man who told me, I think they'd been married 50 years or whatever it was, but it was like at least 50, maybe more. And I said to him, "So what is the key to being married that long?" And his words to me were, "Well, you just keep on living." Doesn't sound very exciting, does it? Doesn't sound very exciting. But I believe commitment goes beyond that. But in his mind, he had not offered himself an option but to stay committed and loyal and faithful to his wife for as long as he lived. And so it wasn't like he was looking for an out. He had made a choice, he had made a decision, and that decision was one that he was going to stick to. Commitment says that I will be with you no matter what. And it's a decision, a choice. It's something that we may not feel every day. It's something that we may not be excited about every day because there are challenges that come to our commitments, to all of us. But at the same time, it's a choice and a decision that we make. We commit ourselves to this other person. We commit ourselves that we will work at our marriages. We commit ourselves that we will work on challenges and difficulties that come. We commit ourselves that we will be there for each other every morning. That we will be there for each other every morning. And so commitment is a decision, it's a choice that we make willingly and joyfully. Commitment is made public through wedding vows or in our wedding vows. During the dating process, we are really deciding whether or not we want to make a commitment to each other. We are deciding, is this a person that I want to commit my life to? Is this a person that I want to share the rest of my life with? And so there is this process that happens that could or could not lead to marriage. That's one of the reasons why we have to be so careful in that whole dating process. Because what if this isn't the right person? What if this is not the person that you want to spend the rest of your life with, and you give some of the best of yourself to that person? And then you end up walking away from them. Okay? So we have to be very careful. Dating should be something that is done in a very public, in a very open and upfront context. And it should not be put on dark roads and late nights and early mornings and those kind of contexts that you know what they can lead to. So I think we, during this whole process, we are making a decision, but dating that turns out to be successful, I think, leads us to an altar, to a place where we make vows to each other, where we make commitments to each other. And a ceremony or wedding vows, that's not just a ceremonial thing that we do. And I think we got to get away from this beautiful, oh, wasn't that a beautiful wedding thing? You know, 48 attendants on the groom's side and 48 on the bride's side. Hardly anybody in the audience because they were all on the platform. No. I wish as much thought went into the marriage as sometimes goes into the wedding ceremony. And I can say that from experience. Some marriages are over before the payments are made on the wedding. Some marriages are over before they even start. But that's another subject altogether. Can I just say something here? I know that there is this trend. I'm going to get in trouble. I know that there is this trend. See, if I say that I'm going to get in trouble first, then you excuse that. Oh, he's just getting himself in trouble. There is this trend to having weddings in gardens and parks and all kinds of exotic places. And that's okay. That's fine. That's good. But there is something special about a wedding in a church. I have non-Christians come to me and say, we want a wedding in a church. And I say, why? You don't go to church. Well, not quite that bluntly, but I say, you don't go to church. I might talk to Christians that bluntly, but I say, why do you want it in a church? And they say, because we're making this before God, and I think it should be in a church. Okay? Something sacred about the place that is set aside for worship of God. And I think that one of the things that we need to be very conscious of, and you don't have to do it in a church, but I think there's something special about doing it in a church, but there's something very special about making our vows, and we say, or we understand that I am not just making my vows before my friends and the trees and the flowers and the bushes and all that, but I am making my vows before God. There have been times when I have led a couple through their vows and I go, oh man, why am I even doing this? Honestly, why am I even doing this? Because it's just like, tell the preacher what he wants to hear so we can get on with the party. There have been other times when I have led people through vows and I have almost got choked up because I see the depth of meaning in the words that they speak. So it's not simply where you do it, but it is an understanding that I am not just making vows to my partner here. I'm not just making vows to my husband or my wife. I'm not just making vows in front of my friends, but I am literally making vows before God. This is a sacred moment. This is not just a party moment. This is a sacred moment before God. If you go to Malachi chapter 2, verse 14, it says, the Lord is acting as the witness between you and the wife of your youth, the wife of your marriage covenant. And when you say vows, you are saying vows before God. And this is a public statement of a commitment to each other. I have said to couples, too, while I'm on this, I have said to couples, too, that there are some things that I insist on in a marriage ceremony. One is that we base it on Scripture, that we use Scripture in it, that I am allowed to pray, even if they're not Christian couples, that I am allowed to pray. And if they say, no, we don't want that, then I say, I won't do it. The second thing I insist is on telling them, you are not just making vows to each other or to me, but you are making vows to God, and God takes them seriously. And I hope that you take them seriously, too, because these are vows before God. So when we have the marriage, our commitment is made public with our wedding vows. Commitment continues, thirdly, with everyday decisions. Every day you have to continue to make decisions that will honor your commitment. We will have arguments and disagreements. That's just a given. We will have grumpy days. That's just a given. We will have temptations come. That's just a given. But everyday decisions need to be made in order for us to maintain strong commitments. Every day. Because those of you who are married know that every day there can be little things that will irritate you about the other person. Unless you're married to someone perfect, and none of us here are. And so, therefore, we understand that there can be irritations, there can be difficulties that come, there can be challenges that come our way. And every day we need to make decisions that help us to maintain our commitment. It's very easy to get irritated with another person, okay? Their habits, with their whatever they do, and sometimes they frustrate you and all of those things. But you can choose to let them irritate you, or you can choose to say, isn't that cute about them? And I'll say to you that if you let it frustrate you, it will be hard for you to stay committed. But if you understand that this is part of the quirky person that they are, it will become something more special in your relationship that the two of you share together. And so every day we make decisions this is the person I love. This is the person I want to spend my life with. Yes, there are some things that drive me crazy. But at the same time, I would rather be with this person than without this person. I would rather be with them with their quirks than without them without their quirks. And so every day we make decisions. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 3 and 4 says, let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Let love and faithfulness continue or never leave you. That sense of every day I'm going to make decisions about love and faithfulness. And fourthly, in talking about what commitment means, commitment seeks to finish strong. I love this picture. This is just the coolest picture. Two gnarled hands held. Two aged hands held. Maybe they're holding each other up. I don't know. But it's still a really cool picture to me because it speaks of long love. It speaks of the fact that they're finishing strong. It speaks of the fact that they still like walking down the street holding hands. I still love walking down. We've been married 34 years in December. And if that's not right, none of you need to tell her. She'll be here in the second service. Yeah, it's 34 years, I know. But I still get a tingle walking down the street holding hands with my wife or down the mall if we're shopping or whatever, you know? I still love holding hands with my wife. And that's just part of a relationship, but that whole idea of finishing strong, I know that as we get older sometimes, we get kind of used to that person, and I know that, oh, I'm not going to go there. I know that there is this sense that they almost sometimes become more like, you know, somebody you share the house with, but rather than somebody you're passionately in love with. But I want to encourage you to finish strong, finish well. I want to encourage you to just, I love seeing an older couple express touches of affection for each other. I have watched people on deathbeds, and I have watched husbands stroke their wife's hair with strokes that are just so filled with love and passion still as they're getting older. I've also watched the other side where it's, well, he's gone, time to go, kind of stuff. That's not finishing well. But I want to challenge you, encourage you to finish well together. So we talked about at the beginning, we said the walls of protection or the walls of commitment. How can commitment provide walls of protection? Let me suggest to you, I think it's four ways that I have here. First of all, commitment gives love time to grow. Commitment gives love time to grow. You can grow a weed very quickly But it takes years and years and years to grow an oak tree. And if you want an oak tree for a relationship, you have to give it time to grow. If you want a weed, it'll sprout out very quickly, but it'll be an annoyance in your life. So Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 1 says there are time for everything. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the sun. There are seasons in our relationship, and I believe in every season love can grow. In every season love can be different, but it can be strong and it can grow. Let me just take you through a few of those seasons. First of all, the first years, you're really getting to know each other, get established in who you are apart from your parents. There's lots of firsts that happen during this time, lots of adjustments to living with a new husband or wife and trying to figure out how to work through things when you can't just go home because you are home. You know, that was one of the big revelations when we got married. You can't go home because you are, you know. But it was also a wonderful revelation. Wonderful revelation that you are home with the person that you love. And so those first years are years when these are great times and exciting times and establishing careers and establishing your home and establishing great patterns for the future of your relationship. And it's really important for just the two of you to get to know each other. They used to have babies at least 9 months after they were married. Now they seem to come just any time, even before you're married often. God planned it so that it would be at least 9 months after you're married because he knew that you would need that time to get to know each other. You'd need that time to spend together, to just establish those relationships and to get to know this other person that you have joined your life to. So there's those first years. Then the children years, and you decide to start a family, or it happened when you didn't decide, but there's less income, and there's more responsibilities, and more expenses, and less sleep, and oh my goodness, this weekend we had the kids, because Dee Dee and Matt are moving. If I sound a little incoherent this morning, I am not used to having three very active children. They stayed Friday night to Saturday morning at our house, and we were trying to get out of the house by 10 o'clock. We didn't make it. I have a whole new appreciation, moms, for you guys and what you go through every day. But you know, we got them up, and well, they got us up, and then... And then we said, oh, we're going to make pancakes for them for breakfast. That was a mistake. By 10 o'clock when we had them all fed and dressed and we're just about ready to head out the door, I said to Vern, I need a nap. Oh my goodness, how do you do that every day? I don't remember, but anyway, it's just those early years, the children years, and it's your commitment to each other that helps you get through that. It's your commitment that, because there's oftentimes you just don't feel like loving somebody else in that moment. You want to escape, you want to run away. When you said for better, for worse, this was one of the worst, you know? And but you make it through that time only to enter into the teenage years. You thought you had it bad in the children years. Your children are gaining more independence, and with that comes so many challenges for a couple and their relationship and trying to work together at steering these lives in right directions. And I remember Bill Cosby talking to his wife on the television show one time, and he says, honey, we have to stick together to protect ourselves from the kids, you know. But those teenage years can be great years. Let me just say something to you parents. These are years when your children do not need you to be a friend to them. They need you to be a parent to them. You can be friends after they're married and left home. But this is the time when you need to talk about these are the things that are important. And it doesn't matter if you don't like me. This is still the way it is. And these years can be unbelievably hard on your self-esteem because you always thought you were kind of cool. But they have told you that you are the most uncool person in the world. And how could you be so outdated and old-fashioned? And how could you possibly ruin my life like this? You know? They come out the other side. They'll be fine. But you need to be a parent. In a few weeks, we're going to do a parenting series. We'll talk about some of this. But you need to be a parent to them who says, no, this is the direction you're going to go, and this is what's going to happen, and this is how we're going to do it. Then the empty nest years, and this is where we are, and it's wonderful. I think I was born for empty nest. But, you know, when David, our youngest, was about ready to leave home, my wife was going through a real crisis. And she just thought, what am I going to do? You know, like my baby is leaving home. He wasn't out 2 weeks. And she knew exactly what she was going to do. It was wonderful. And we had great kids, you know, not perfect, but great kids. But these are times when it's really important that that commitment stays strong to each other. These are times when it's really important that there is that continuing love. And sometimes you have to reestablish some things that those children and teen years took out of you and you didn't have time for. This is the time when many couples break up because the only thing they had in common was the kids. And the kids are gone, and all of a sudden they look at each other and they go, who are you? And there's this stranger in their house that they have sort of noticed was there for the last 15, 20 years, but suddenly they don't know how to talk to this stranger or connect with this stranger who is their husband or wife. And so the empty nest years are great years. These are seasons that give opportunity for love to mature and a commitment to each other to continue to grow. But through all of those years, commitment helps, gives opportunity for love to grow. In every one of those situations, no matter how difficult and challenging it is, through the children years, the teen years, through some of those early years when you're trying to just make it, commitment lets love grow. Secondly, walls of commitment, commitment allows two real people to work through challenges without fear of rejection. We said it earlier, but none of us is perfect. And all of us stand in need of grace and forgiveness on a regular basis. All of us stand in need of grace and forgiveness on a regular basis. Because all of us can tend toward selfishness. All of us can tend toward wanting it our way. All of us can sometimes go through tough times. But commitment will help us to make it through those difficult times as we work out the challenges without fear of rejection. I know a couple where every time they have a disagreement or where if one does something to hurt the other, the threat of leaving in divorce is spoken. Well, if you're going to ask that way, I'm just going to leave. And so the person tries to behave themselves for fear that the other person is going to leave. That's not a basis for any kind of a relationship. That's not a basis for any kind of a healthy environment for people to try and work through differences and challenges and opportunities. And a commitment to each other allows two real people to work through challenges without fear of rejection, without fear that the other person is going to tell them to go away, tell them to get out of their lives, tell them that they don't want them as part of their life anymore. James chapter 3, verse 2 says, we all stumble in many ways, and if ever anyone is never at fault in what he says, he's a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. James is really saying none of us can do that. And so we need to have this sense in which when we're tired or stressed or preoccupied or do something that creates hurt for the other person, that there is still a safety net there that says, you know something, you hurt me. But I'm going to be here and we're going to work through this together and we're going to make it happen because I care enough about you, because I love you enough, because I am here not just for the moment, but I am here for the long haul and I am committed to you. I am committed to making this work. People who are committed to each other know that hurts can happen, that mercy needs to be extended, that forgiveness is an important part of any relationship. It has to be asked for and it has to be offered. But if you are constantly walking on eggshells, if you never know what is going to set the other person off, it's difficult to have a relationship that lasts. But when you know that you can be yourself, when you know that the person that you are married to will not reject you, it allows you to grow through the challenges of life, and it allows you to make it through tough times. The third way that commitment protects us is that commitment protects us from outside intruders. Some of you like camping with just a tarp over your head and a sleeping bag on the ground, and you kind of like it that. I can't understand that. I prefer camping in luxury, Best Western kind of camping, I prefer to have walls around me that protect me from snakes and spiders and bears, and I live in a house because there are certain people and things I want to keep outside. And I want to feel safe inside. And I use that illustration simply to say that we build houses, we live in homes to protect us from outside intruders. We also build commitment into our relationship to protect ourselves from outside intruders. When you struggle with the commitment aspect of your relationship to each other, it's not hard for outside intrusion to come in. And by that I mean preoccupation with an activity, okay, where he goes off and does his thing all the time and she goes off and does her thing all the time. That's kind of an intruder, because that thing that they're always doing, instead of spending time with each other, that thing that they're always doing is an intruder into their relationship. It keeps them from being together. The other thing is there are people that will willingly come and intrude into your relationship. I remember a fellow telling me, he worked in town here, and there's lots of people, men and women, that worked at this place. And he said, you would not believe how many times I am propositioned by women at work that they want to have some kind of a relationship with me. And he says, I'm a married guy, and some of them are married and stuff. But he says, it's not like they want a long-term commitment. They want a one-night fling. And when you are struggling with your relationship with your husband or wife, those intruders have much more opportunity. When you've had a fight in the morning and you have argued all through the day, and then you go to work maybe in the evening or the next day and things are unresolved, it's much easier for intruders to get into that kind of a setting than when there is a commitment that, hey, we're going through a tough time, but something, we're going to work this out. We're going to make this right. We're going to get through this time, and we're not going to let anything get in between us. We are not going to let intruders, because there is a commitment to each other that we will protect ourselves from outside intruders. And fourth, and this isn't in your notes, I just added it because I thought it was really important. Commitment protects the future of our families. Commitment protects the future of our families. Robert Hughes is an associate professor, Dr. Robert Hughes, associate professor and extension specialist in the Department of Human Development and Family Science at Ohio State University. And he has conducted a study for the last 20 years. He has been involved in educational programs in family relationships and worked with family life professionals and all of this kind of stuff, dealing with primarily with families at risk. And he was asked, what are some of the problems children frequently face in divorced and separated families? And this was his response. Children from divorced families are more likely to have academic problems. They're more likely to be aggressive and get in trouble with school authorities or the police. These children are more likely to have low self-esteem and feel depressed. Children who grow up in divorced families often have more difficulty getting along with siblings, peers, and their parents. Also in adolescence, they are more likely to engage in delinquent activities, to get involved in early sexual activity, and to experiment with illegal drugs. In adolescence and young adulthood, they are more likely to have some difficulty forming intimate relationships and establishing independence from their families. That is a powerful statement. I think Dr. Joy Brown is totally out to lunch most of the time, but especially in this area when she says, children are flexible, they'll adjust. I don't think kids ever get over it. And I believe a commitment to each other as husband and wife is crucial in protecting our families and raising the next generation of kids in a healthy context, in a place where they feel that there is a security there. Because if dad will leave me, mom might leave me. Somebody else might leave me. I can't count on relationships. I have to protect myself. I have to make sure. And I hesitated in saying this simply because of the fact that I know that some of you have experienced that pain. And I know that it takes two people who want to be committed to each other to make this work, okay? But I think it's worth working through stuff for the sake of the next generation, for the sake of our children. It's worth making that commitment that says, we will work at this as hard as we can, do everything we can to make sure that our children have the best possible protection and start that they can have. The C word is not a word that is easily uttered by people today. The C word, commitment, is not a word that a lot of us want to use. But I want to suggest to you that it is a crucial word. And not just the word, but if we want to build healthy relationships that last for a lifetime, we need to have a level of commitment that says, my wife can count on me. My husband can count on me. If we're going through difficult times, we can count on each other. We can count on each other, and we can know that we will be there for each other through good times and bad times. And we'll work it out so that our love can grow and the future can be great. Will you stand together with me? Father, we've talked about some tough stuff today. We've laughed about some of it, but at the same time, underneath all of it is a seriousness and an importance that we don't ever want to underestimate. And Father, I would pray this morning for those in this place who are struggling in their relationships, because when they said words at an altar or wherever they said them, they said them to each other, they really meant them. And they said them before God, and they really meant them before God. But stuff has come along, and hard stuff has happened in life, and difficult moments have raised their heads. And some of those commitments that were made are being challenged. And maybe we're not even thinking of walking our own way, but it's just that distance is starting to develop. God, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would not only speak into our lives this morning, but God, that you would also strengthen us in our commitments. You would strengthen us in our commitments, God. Father, I understand that there are people here who are experiencing the pain of broken commitments, broken relationships. And God, I just pray that you would come to them. And God, that you would pour in healing. And God, that you would pour in freshness. And God, that you would pour in goodness. And all of those things, God, that you can do. And Lord, where there are hurts, I pray, God, that there would be healing. God, I ask for those who maybe together, but God, they're struggling with what's going on in their relationship, and they're struggling with the fact that it's maybe hard to talk to each other, or it's hard to communicate, or it's hard to go through some of this stuff. And God, there may be in some hearts here this morning even just a sense that, what's the point? What's the point? Why not just walk away? God, I would just pray today for renewed strength for them, that there would be a resolve to say that I'm going to give it another shot and another and another and another, because it's worth it. Father, for strong marriages here today, we all know that stuff can enter in and bring disruption and hurt. Father, I would pray that we would not allow things to come in. We would not allow intrusion into our relationship. But God, that we would just make fresh commitments here this morning. Fresh commitments here this morning. And we would be thankful and grateful, God, and say, thank you, God, for this person you brought into my life. Thank you for my husband. Thank you for my wife. Thank you, God. Lord, may we ever be open to seek forgiveness from each other and to acknowledge fault, but also to offer forgiveness and offer restoration when it's needed. Oh God, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.